a hack, just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by his teammates every week. It's just, you know, it's terrible. It's just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeo and Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. Today, we are going to be recapping the craziness of Week 11 of college football on the FBS level. We're going to be talking about the outcomes from Georgia, Ole Miss, Michigan, Penn State, and Washington, Utah. Sean, it was a very interesting weekend. Dude, I got killed in betting, by the way. I know that we always throw to the read first as people are coming in here. We're going to talk about Bet Online. A historic week. You and I both went 0-3. I felt terrible about myself because all of my games didn't hit in the early slate. And then I looked over and I checked which games you picked. And I was actively rooting against you when I saw that TCU was coming back. So it makes me happy that you also did not cover.
Yeah, it's tough. I was actually 5-1 for CFE, and I had a three-leg parlay to hit for about, 72-32.
Oh, look at you.
I took a favorites, which sweated it out. I took a Georgia money line. I took a Washington
you did one of those.
And then I took a Michigan money line, and I got some odds on it, and I liked it, and I hit the bet. So you can say you all you want. I did not reflect well or represent well. No, not me. And I will even throw in for you. And I'm going to try to work as a team on like your selfish, goofy ass. Oklahoma
down.
State.
Wait. We're in a competition here. What kind of shit are you talking about? Why would I support you?
I'm supporting the show's reputation.
Get a grip. If you were supporting the show's reputation, you'd get your damn picks up and you'd have get more of them right instead of being
records go their sleep for you. Idiot.
I didn't bet on Rutgers, so I didn't lose any money on him.
Oklahoma State, UCF, embarrassing. Yeah, Georgia Tech.
Do the read.
Kansas. I took Kansas in real life. That was awful.
We're going to talk about that.
I thought that quarterback broke his leg and the bet was shot, and then he didn't, and it was like...
But let's talk about that later, because I wrote that down. We have to talk about that.
Whatever. What sports do you like, Joe? Do you like all of them? Well, if you like all of them, then you can bet on all of them at betonline.ag. That's what you're going to want to do. All the hoops betting action, all the hockey betting action, all the football, which is so fun and thrilling betting action, watching your team lose to the 1-8 Cardinals, all that stuff that gets you feeling things you haven't felt in years, type of hatred that makes you hate yourself for an organization. It's incredible what teams and gambling can make you feel as a human. Head to BetOnline today and remember
to a little bit here.
Stop interrupting my read.
Sorry.
They don't like it when you do that. They like my style better. Head to the BetOnline today. Remember to use our promo code BLEAVE for your 50% welcome bonus and your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Joe, I want you sending me the emails anymore because I'm tired of looking up Cam Rogers to find my email for the read. I need less involvement.
I think you should start more of a dialogue with Cam Rogers. Maybe you'd feel a little bit better about yourself. I know who's not feeling very good today, though, Sean. Funny. That is Penn State fans after the outcome of Michigan-Penn State. Look, this game played out exactly as we anticipated, and heck, you even clipped it. You predicted this game word for word, drive for drive, the way that this thing played out. This game was so disappointing for Penn State that they fired their offensive coordinator after it. Mike Yurcich is
good.
Team. I think that was a bit reactionary. That was a total diversion move by James Franklin because he knows that his seat's going to start to heat up this year. It's going to people are going to start talking at the end of the season. He's not going to get fired this cycle, but people are going to talk about it for next year. So what do? You fire offensive coordinator and there's less blame on your plate.
Joe, that's true.
Okay.
But squandering a five-star and a five-star and a five-star and a guy that's going to the NFL, left tackle, and having that offensive output this season against the big two, that's not good enough. Because they can beat the teams. They can beat Iowa. They can beat the other teams. They can beat Rutgers. They can beat Indiana. Who cares? Against the big two, where this is all we've seen for the last 10 years, however long, just looking at this, that he can't get over the hump. And, oh, he beat him that year. Oh, that was great. That was great. He did it once. Great. Too bad. Offense is not good enough in those games this year. And we knew it coming in.
I understand that the production wasn't good, but the issue lies with the fact that they didn't have the receivers to run the offense that they're trying to run. They also, I don't put on the play calling. I put on a lot of decision-making by James Franklin. It's the...
He's a doofus also. Trust me. I'm not...
Horrible in-game decision-maker. Horrible.
Withholding blame from James Franklin, who is suspect 1A in disappearing. James Franklin is game 7 James Harden. That's what he is when it matters most.
Or games 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 James Harden. Not to cut you off, I want to talk about this from the Michigan perspective, because you know what, Sean, Penn State's, you know, they're kind of past our conversation here. They're off the plate, man. We got to focus on the teams that are stepping up to the opportunity at hand to compete for a national championship. We said it, and again, you predicted this game perfectly. They came in to make a statement. Suspending Harbaugh the Friday before in order to do some type of chess move. Tony Petitti's trying to get him off the sideline while he's in the air.
Unbelievable. On Veterans Day. On a holiday at 4. I'm not even going to talk about I was working until 2 that day, that 2 a.m. that morning. Because of all this nonsense for Tony Petitti. I'm not even upset about it. It was just cowardly. It was cowardly all over the place, embarrassing all over the place. And I cut you off and I'll talk about who's really embarrassing after this.
You're good. It's a total lawyer move, what he did. Total time it up. It's kind of like one of those bits where you'll see, deliberately trying a case in another district or something along those lines, which is probably going to happen in this court case with the countersuit that is going to be filed by Michigan. It's probably going to be somewhere really obnoxious just to give you a big middle finger to the Big Ten. But they're trying to posture here. They're trying to catch them off guard. They're trying to position themselves to get Harbaugh off the sideline. And it did the complete opposite. It had the complete opposite effect. We saw the emotion of this team after the game. We said it. They were looking to make a statement. You set them up to make a statement. I don't think that they stole any signs in this one, dude. And I know that it sounds like I'm glazing Michigan, and I've tried not to, but you can't do this shit and expect them not to turn the narrative against you, to use it in their favor. It's just like the freaking Houston Astros. Of course they're going to rally behind something when you go out of your way to punish them, when they're a good baseball team. The same shit's going to happen with Michigan.
I like that the people that consistently make more sense than they don't, and I'm grouping you in that category barely, but people in my life that make more sense than they don't have similar thoughts about this. Wetzel had similar. It's why would you, first of all, Michigan's your ticket, Big Ten, this year. Yeah. They're your ticket, and you're shitting on them. Okay, cool. You wanted to make a move, new guys in office. All right, that's the move you're making. You're not realizing that Michigan's just going to lawyer you to hell. Harbaugh doesn't care. The team is looking for any excuse to get motivated. They already had it at the beginning of the year with Harbaugh getting suspended by the school. And then you saw the overreaction after the game from Michigan. They had no business crying. Sure, more good win. Awesome. Good job, dude. It's hard to win games. It's hard, and I'm not going to take it away because winning a game is a great feeling. But holy hell, could we keep it together? It's Penn State. We knew how it was going to go. You are so much more talented than them, so much more disciplined, much better coached. You're crying after the game.
Wait, okay.
So Harbaugh had passed on to the ethereal plane.
This is where I don't really completely agree with here on everybody criticizing him. What is wrong with this team?
And it's not him. It's just emphasized by the Michigan fans, though.
I get that. Michigan fans
get a hold of it, and when they get a hold of something, it stops being cool.
That's a fair point. I still stand by here though that I you pissing off a Michigan team is not going to produce good results. And by the way, for anyone who would love to question if I have some sort of Michigan bias, I grew up not liking Michigan. I was a Notre Dame fan. It was
Why
one
would
of the most
you? They're babies. Michigan is spoiled babies.
Okay.
Am I wrong? Notre Dame is too. I really don't care.
My other big thing, we got a couple comments I want to get to in a second. My other big thing with this, though, I think that it's pretty clear that Michigan will beat Ohio State. It's at Michigan. They managed to succeed the way that they did without needing J.J. McCarthy. They just said, we're going to run the ball down your throat, and we're going to end this game our way. We're going to body you on both sides of the football. I do not think that Ohio State offensive line can block that front that Michigan brings to the table. Mm-mm. Mason Graham, Josiah Stewart, like those dudes are monsters, man. There are so many good football players on that defensive line.
Can you explain to me, and I wasn't going to vote for him, but I don't like this move because it just felt, it was so odd that it made me uncomfortable. Can you explain to me the Michigan self-assassination of J.J. McCarthy's Heisman ballot? Can you make some sense of that for me? Because when I think about it, I get uncomfortable with the things that I've heard about J.J. McCarthy, with the way that he's performed this year, his ability, is all of this, everything he's done this year has led to, you're undefeated in the Big Ten, and you're gonna be in the playoff, and you're the quarterback of that team, and you've been good through all the adversity. Sure, you should be on the podium. I'm not saying you should win it. Daniels or Penix or Ollie Gordon or whoever the hell.
Ollie Gordon's out of it now, too.
Just top of the head. Yeah, but all these other dudes are going to be up there, too. You should be up there. You have the resume. But no. Versus Penn State, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you back there, and you're going to hand it off 32 straight times because of our ego. Because of our ego, you don't get to throw the ball, and you have people like me thinking that you were injured because you were not calling pass plays. Joe, was he injured, and are you equally as uncomfortable about this Heisman sabotage?
Well, okay. I don't think it was an ego thing, first of all. Don't think he was injured because they did run him at times in the latter part of this game. I just think, and a lot of play callers for some reason turn away from this. It's like when you're playing Madden and you're playing online with some random person and you just keep running the ball between the tackles and you're like, why do I keep getting 4 or 5 yards? He's not adjusting the front. For some reason, he's still in nickel. I'm not saying the Penn State did this, but it's the thought process of if it's working, why would we not just keep doing it? And that's literally that was literally the offensive approach. There was no, let's get creative. We've got this mismatch in this situation, in this spot. It was just, okay, run the football. Keep running the football.
That's genuinely the only answer I'll accept. That right there is the only one I will accept, because if it came down to talent or trust, I was ready. If you said it, I was ready for you to say the line and explode, but I'm not going to, because you have that. If it was something about they don't trust McCarthy, then the whole narrative of the season is blown up. Then the entire narrative, which is the theme.
I actually do believe that they do not trust McCarthy.
Then why are they saying that he is the best quarterback to walk through the doors in Michigan since the school's been founded?
I said,
why is Harbaugh saying that?
I got killed. I got freaking killed for saying this. But J.J. McCarthy's not he's not as good as everybody thinks. And I had a lot of conversations with my scouts.
But they've been pulling me out of that boat, Joe. They've been pulling me out of that boat.
Well, that's your fault for getting pulled out of
that boat. No, I have not left the boat, Joe. They've been pulling me.
You're too big to be jumping in the water.
Dude, I was in this little raft getting onto a boat in Ibiza. I thought the whole thing was going to go under. It was like a little transport boat to the actual boat we were going to be on for the day. And it was me, two other dudes, and another man. And three dudes were the other two were offsetting me on the other side. I'm sitting here like, this bitch might sink. I might lose my bag, my phone, my wallet, everything. It was like a 30-second ride.
I'm glad I wasn't with you, because that would have frightened me. Quick question here from Brian C. Does the college football playoff committee automatically bypass a bubble Michigan team because of the college football?
Not a chance in hell, Brian. Can you imagine the television?
If they have one loss, maybe. But you just bring up a really good point. Ultimately, ESPN.
Why would you leave them off?
They have the biggest interest in this, and you have the biggest talking point to talk about the scandal. To have them in there, the ESPN would absolutely they have peddled this shit for the past couple weeks. They're absolutely going to put Michigan in no matter what. They also don't have the authority to say that they feel uncomfortable because they did not conduct an investigation, nor do they have the information except from an outside source to make that decision.
Trust me, I'm fully aware TV's running it, and I'm running every story that I can that involves Michigan because it's doing numbers right now. And we got to remember at times what's doing numbers. They're going to try to roll with it. The TV companies will do everything they can to get Michigan in the playoff. Everything they can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it boggles my mind how Petiti, who is a former TV guy, doesn't acknowledge that, but it is what it is.
Smarter than the room.
We've got our good friend Big Iron in the chat, who is a Washington football fan. He was he sent me a picture from the game. It seems like he was having a very good time. Let's talk about this Washington-Utah game, and then we're going to round things out with Georgia Ole Miss, because that really is telling that game.
Dude. Yeah.
I think that one thing for me stands on Washington, and it was proven by the fact that Utah abandoned trying to run the football later on in this game. I think what continuously, despite Washington having a bad defense, what makes them so dangerous is they constantly, force their opponent to play their game, even though nobody in the country is equipped to play their game. Their game is fast break basketball. They're just moving the ball, passing up as far as they can up the court until they get to the bucket, and then they slam it in. That's the game that they play, and it works. And the problem is that a team like Utah, or if theoretically, if Washington makes the playoff, if Alabama can't play this football game, they can't. I know that Alabama fans don't want. They've gotten upset at me on Ruffino and Joe for saying that they can't play that game.
Well, to offset it, the question arises: can vice versa happen? Can Washington play that football game that Alabama plays?
But that's what I'm getting at here.
Or are you so?
That's what I'm getting at here, is that Washington keeps doing this where they keep playing their game and forcing other teams to play theirs. That's what has worked for them.
It works. It gets. They make me nervous. I had a lot of thoughts on this game, actually. When I see teams like Washington, it always draws me back to that Broncos Seahawks Super Bowl, where the Seahawks kicked the hell out of them, and it was great defense versus great offense. I always just brings me back to it, because in recent memory, that's the most like tale of two different teams meeting up in my mind. It's made a huge impact, and Seattle won that because they had a phenomenal defense. Their offense was still capable, which I think Alabama has. But I said on CFE, this is the game that Utah, this is when Utah does it, right? They're already out. They're not making the CFP. You know, their chances are done. So now it's time to ruin somebody else. And if they didn't try their hardest, I don't know what I was watching on Saturday. Utah wanted to fuck up the entire Pac-12 this game. They were ready. It was going to be fun. And they were executing, and they had huge mistakes from Washington. And the only reason I'm still confident in Washington is because Pac-12 teams lose this game to Utah. When they're sloppy, they lose to Utah. Mm. When Utah's playing offense and they're running, the Utah running back is phenomenal. Just makes me so happy to see true football players being football players and teams saying, you know what? I know what you can do. Go take the ball. Score for us. I love that. When all that stuff's clicking for Utah, defense is doing fine. Utah wins those games. This is we're following the Pac-12 script, everybody. All right, week 11. All right, Utah, mess it all up. Thanks. We won't get into the CFP now. Gotcha. Noted. Washington still won. It's impressive. It's impressive that that's why Washington is a great team, not just a good team with a great offense, because they still won the game.
Right. Well, so that's what's constantly forgotten throughout all this. The critics of Washington throughout this process, and then look, I think that Oregon's more well-rounded, but it has to be noted, Washington still won that football game, and they did exactly what I just talked about. They forced Oregon to try and play their game at the end of that game, and they couldn't really do it. Obviously, Dan Lanning's mistakes factor into it. Obviously, that plays into
it. Yes.
But what you're saying there is true. In every opportunity that everybody has sat here and said, they're going to lose this game, they're going to lose this game, they're going to lose this game, they have stepped up and they've won.
Try to tear them down. You could keep trying to tear them down, and I think a lot of people could still make valid points and arguments. Mm. They're still winning football games, though, and that's all I care about.
You know what is very true? And I said this on the other show that I was just on. I think that Washington is
the show.
Ruffino and Joe.
Yeah,
I think that Washington is this year's TCU. I really think that they are. That everyone is going to kind of just
they're the magic team.
They really. Oh, I don't know if they are
the magic team. Oh,
because when they shit their pants,
we can't just say there's a magic team every year. Magic.
No. This is the magic team because they've shit their pants.
Get your finger out of my face, dog.
they've shit their pants, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, it's like they – perfect examples. Arizona State, no business winning that game because they play god-awful. Pick six to win the football game. Utah. Utah's climbing. You know, they're trying to keep this thing close. Yeah. Pick six, ball is dropped at the one, an ensuing safety, and then despite a missed field goal, they win the football game. They're pulling the same shit that TCU did last year.
Oh, brother.
I'm telling you,
I just had so much love for that TCU team last year and the magic that, but God. Okay.
Them.
Technically, they have had some similar wins. Technically. I don't know if I'm ready to call them magic team yet. I can't yell magic team, magic team, magic team. Because they had a great quarterback coming in. They had a stellar wide receiver room coming in. You were tweeting about their edge rushers all offseason. Like, they've had talent all across the board. No one was doing that for TCU last year. I get you. Your premise is
okay,
good.
Okay, that's a fair point. My premise is that they're the team that everyone keeps shitting on. That's everyone's
I want to
like,
hate the premise.
Don't put them in. Yeah, okay. It's a fair point. Any other thoughts on this game before we talk about Georgia?
I just want to keep watching Washington football. Thank God for the Pac-12 this year. I've had conversations. I was having conversations today. And I'm like, you know what? The SEC is boring. The Big 12 has like one to two good teams that, you know, is exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. Outside of the big rivalry games. Big 10 sucks. Even their good games suck. Like that Michigan Penn State game was still like, it wasn't brutal to watch, but it was teetering. ACC slop fest. Like Florida State, Miami. It was a close game. Slop fest. The Pac-12 has been college football's saving grace, and these TV executives have stripped it away from us. And George Kliavkov is going to go down as a historic dunce for letting it fail. And he's just late, and I know the timing happened, and it happens all the time. It's not the first realignment. I get it, dude. But I am thankful for the Pac-12 this year, because when 9:30 rolls around and you still have a little bit of an itch for football, oh, here's the best goddamn game of the day.
Well, wait. To be fair, though, that used to not really be the case. That used to not really
understand. Trust me, I get it. There's a lot of tough Pac-12 games that I had to sit through.
I'm going to miss it, and I don't know how this is going to turn out for these late night games. I used to miss, you go to a bar with your buddies, and then
it's the best.
They're just running around, just completely dirt bagging, and then you're just kind of chilling, and you're like, there's a game on. I can look at this game.
Hey. Can I bet on it? Oh, I can bet on it. Oh, yeah. And you got yourself a night.
RIP. RIP the Pac-12. All right, final thoughts here. Georgia, Ole Miss. I don't think we need to really dig deep on this one. Dude, this was just a dismantling. This was a complete and utter bludgeoning. I really think that the country needs to be on notice. The college football world needs to be on notice that healthy Georgia, not the same as what they've been over the past couple of years, but they're still the best team in the country, and they should be ranked as the number one team in the country. I know that Michigan looked good yesterday. You can try to create any goofy arguments with Ohio State if you really want to, but Georgia is the best team in the country.
It's impressive to see what Georgia did. Because Ole Miss, you're watching it, you're like, Ole Miss is kind of keeping it close, you know, Judkins. I said dummy Jackson Dart. I'm not calling him a dummy, but he took a hit on the goal line, right? Mm-hmm. One of the first couple drives. I said, within the next, he's going to get hurt this game because Georgia hits differently than other teams hit. They tackle differently. They tackle hard. It is grown men, NFL players tackling you like that. And Jackson Dart got the game hit out of him in the fourth quarter. And it wasn't even necessarily his fault. He just took too many hits. Kiffin running him on draws? What are we doing?
Oh, he's a good athlete when you can't pick up any but you're right. This is where we talked about this.
Plan. That is not the game plan, Joe.
We talked about this.
Run it with your quarterback who's better throwing the ball than running.
Well, nobody was getting open. We talked about this. We said that if Lane does what he did against Alabama, where he just completely calls some doofus game because he's coaching scared, of course they're going to get blown out.
What was he doing? That shouldn't be in the play call. If Jackson Dart wants to scramble because nobody's open and gets 6 yards, that's his decision. It should not be, all right, they're at the eight. Snap the dart. He tucks it. Runs forward for 3 yards as Georgia defenders tackle him and crush his rib cage. That's not a play call, pal. That is not what you do against that team. You dial it up. You dial it up some way. Hide the tight end. Hide the tight end trick works for every team. When is Ole Miss going to do it? Go ahead.
We don't have a tight end. We don't have a tight end to do it, throw it to.
I could hide a DeLeon on a field and you would get a touchdown. You think I couldn't? I'd be able to do it.
I don't know.
I would scheme you up a score in a college football game. I promise you.
It's actually a really good point by Big Iron here. Is Georgia looking this good a product of being weak or good or a weak SEC? So here's the thing. I think that if they were scraping by and they were only winning by like a couple of scores, like 10 points, kind of like they did against Mizzou, if they did that against Ole Miss and if they go on to do that against Tennessee, the point that you're making, it being a weak SEC, then benefiting from it. But I really believe that the fact that they're just blowing out the teams that are supposed to be like a challenge for them is pretty indicative that they're as good as they're advertised. And as we've tried to talk them up, that why they deserve to be number one, they blew out Kentucky. They blew out Ole Miss and they're about to blow out Tennessee. The only one who gave them a challenge is one of the few other good teams in the conference, which is Missouri, who doesn't get enough love. So no, yeah, I think that it's they're that good.
You gave them some bump and it still wasn't that close. Yeah. Georgia, I truly believe Georgia would look the same level of dominance in every other conference. It would look the same, no matter who they were playing. And then if we want to have a conversation later on in the year about the CFP teams that they're going to have to play, whether it's Alabama or Ohio State or Michigan or whoever, like, they have shown me zero reason to not expect them to win and cover and do what they need to do. They handle business, and the offense has taken great steps in the last couple of weeks.
Massive.
Carson Beck looks like a dude, and I'm not saying he is a dude.
No, he is a dude.
But they found a way. Georgia found a way to make Stetson Bennett look like a dude at times. They're finding ways. They find ways with that offense. It takes a little bit, but the offense is looking sharp also. Who wants to play them? Not me.
I also think like an interesting angle on this is I think that a counterpoint could be brought up and be completely valid of saying, like, if Michigan's basically doing that, you know, I would argue that Michigan and Ohio State are more guilty of this question than Georgia is, where they beat the hell out of the bad teams. And then the second tier teams, they beat them by a score and a half. And then they go to the college football playoff. Like, that's literally what both teams have done.
Ole Miss would win the Big Ten West.
I don't think so. I argued with Blake about this. I do not think so. I do not think that Ole Miss beats Penn State. Their offensive line is not good enough.
Their offensive line had a long day.
They had a kid who was out. The whole
thing. Oh, my God. And I'm bringing this up just because ADD. I was going to text you on Saturday about it, but I didn't believe it when I heard it. It might have been Gus or the analyst in the booth was saying during the Michigan-Penn State game that Michigan has 7 NFL offensive linemen on the team right now. I saw that right tackle for Michigan.
Oh, he's
back. And I'm not going to hate. I'm not in the business, because you could pull up my film and look at me bending at the hips and not at the knees. And you can watch me getting put on my neck and you can watch me tripping over my own feet. So it's all. So I'm. Who is saying, and I know it's not you, right? Who is saying they have 7 NFL linemen on their team right now? Which analyst said that? Because I will just have a little bit of a problem with it.
Zach Zinter, yeah, I mean, it's just lazy analysis to do their offensive line is good and they work collectively well as a unit, so that must mean that all of them are good. That's not true. It's not true. Georgia has 7 NFL offensive linemen. They do.
Michigan's tackles would play guard in the NFL and not do great. And we would see a repetition of Jalen Mayfield. How do you do with the Giants, by the way?
Right. No, Jalen Mayfield wasn't on the Giants.
He got... This is a Michigan offensive lineman drafted 3rd round by the Falcons, was hideous in Atlanta. And he was trying. He just was not built for guard. He was in that awkward point where he was a good college tackle, bad NFL guard. But he wasn't good enough to be a good NFL tackle. Atlanta cuts him after 2 years. He goes to the Giants. When they have literally 5 healthy offensive linemen, they still cut him.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Mayfield stinks. Tease brings up a really good point. I forget the kid's name. He is right that it was a transfer from Arizona State, and he has not really been
52. Good. Yeah, I was watching him. I was watching, hard not to watch. Chop Robinson, or it wasn't Chop Robinson.
It was Chop Robinson completely cooked his ass multiple times.
He did, but he also got burned early in the game by
Dennis Smith.
Abdul Carter, is that the name?
Number 11, or are you thinking of 33?
I don't know. God, he got beat.
Dennis Sutton is the kid that I think you're thinking of. We don't need to sit here and play the name game. Final other thoughts here. First one that I have. I said at the beginning, we got to talk about what happened at the end of this Kansas game. So you and I both had betting interest in this game, which just makes this even more frustrating. JCB goes out of the game, horrific injury, bad. They bring in this third kid in, and the guy can't throw the football. I mean, the thing is just not getting to receivers. He's like under 50% completion.
Making his first ever college pass. I'm like,
God, wow. His first ever?
He didn't take one before this?
He was completely in for a long day. Devin Neal puts him back in the football game. Devin Neal plays his freaking ass off. And I guess it's kind of fitting that it ended like this, but they get the ball down by three in a position to take the lead. All the momentum is in their favor. The defense is rallying. They get all these big, massive stop. They have all the momentum. They go down third and goal. And they call, can offensive coordinators please just stop getting so stupidly, overly, it's not even creative, overthinking opportunities. They called a halfback pass with Devin Neal when the entirety of the day he was running all over that defense.
It's disgusting.
All over that defense.
It's really disgusting behavior that makes you sick.
On third down, do it on first down, first and goal.
I'll take it on second. If you have to give it to me on second, I'll take it on second.
You had all the momentum. You had all the momentum. And you allowed them to go down the field and kick a field goal to win the football game because you didn't play any defense on that last drive. It is such a energy suck to not score there.
I don't even like you talking about it again. I really don't even like that you're having this conversation about it again.
I was dumbfounded, perplexed,
coordinators,
bewildered.
It's not creativity anymore. It's just theft, and it's bad theft. It's theft that doesn't even apply to your team. Like, you have a guy that played, you know, that's like your fourth emergency quarterback, right? He's got a good arm, and he played a lot of it in high school. He's recruited as a quarterback, but he's like a better wide receiver or a better tight end. Run it with him. He can do it. Just putting the ball in anybody's hands, and I've seen it on every level this year. Every level. Sick of it.
Dude, it happens in a goal-to-go situation or a two-point situation. It happens like once a game.
Why can't anybody score in the red zone?
Because no one wants to nut up, strap their freaking chin strap on, and just say we're gonna run the ball down the middle. Nobody wants to do that.
The backwards stuff that I see is, okay, it's first and goal from the 10. Let's run the inside. Let's run inside the tackles here. That's stupid to me. Pass it or run outside the tackles. Okay, now we got 2 yards. Okay, we're on the 8 second and goal. We're going to run it again. And then or we're going to pass our quarterbacks to scramble to like the 2 yard line. You know, okay, fellas, let's bring in the jumbo unit. Let's bring in all the big boys and load it up. Oh, it's a pass. Oh, it's a pass and it's well covered and it goes nowhere, or it's a trick play, or it's the brotherly shove that fails.
I'm so sick of people calling it that, by the way.
I don't know what to call it. The quarterback sneak, anything but. Where is the smurf route? Where is the, here's a tight end that we slipped out in the flat, or here's a running back we slipped out of the flat, and I was talking about this with people. I was drawing up plays in my kitchen, Joe. The halfback pitch to the outside.
I miss the days
fast running back to the corner.
I miss the days when we had pick routes, man. I want to see receiver just blow up a DB and somebody get wide open. I know it's illegal. I think that we need more pick routes. I don't know why that we just gave up on those. I haven't seen a good pick route in decades. Even though I've only been alive for two of them. That was a really weird statement by me.
Nice.
Your first other thought from the weekend.
Let me go and see what they are. You have my mind racing with conversation right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just had a little hypothetical for you. I like talking ball with you. So I got a little question for you. Are you more worried about Florida State or Washington closing this thing out undefeated?
I think Florida State. I think that these teams are built very similarly.
That's the correct answer.
I think that Florida State is not as, despite them both having deficiencies, I don't think that Florida State is as offensively potent to overcome those deficiencies.
I think Washington's resume, even if Washington's resume, they play better teams. If some crazy stuff happens, I think they get a deferred nod. Florida State, you're playing in the ACC.
What if they lose? If they lose,
they're out. There's too much. It's too crowded at the top. I think I'm also more worried about Florida State.
Speaking of Florida State and their opponent this weekend against Miami, that was my other thought this weekend. So I've been a big critic of Tyler Van Dyke, Miami fans.
Anything about it.
After the incident that happened with Tyler Van Dyke in this game, which I'm going to get to in a second, I was so petty and riled up. I went back and liked a bunch of tweets directed at me that were very, very not friendly from early September. Yeah, sometimes you just got to remind people that they were wrong and that you were right. I absolutely was that individual on Saturday night. But what I'm getting at here, Emery Williams, who played in this game, was a freshman quarterback who played not a great game, but played well enough to put his team in a position to maybe win this football game. Suffers just a horrific bad injury. He had to go to the hospital, I believe. Tyler Van Dyke doesn't even start. And he manages to come in the game and do the most Tyler Van Dyke thing ever, which is move the ball down the field and then try way too hard and throw one of the just most jaw-dropping interceptions that you have ever seen.
That's the boy.
It is so goddamn funny that the guy had one series. It took him one series to come into the game and to turn the ball over. Tom Savage. Is that the one goober that was from Pitt who played for the Texans? It's like him, where everyone talks about it. This is probably my best comp. Everyone just talks about him. Like, man, like he's kind of got something, and he has like a couple of just like nice throws. And then he just throws one of the worst interceptions that you've ever seen. And then he comes into a different game and he throws an even worse interception. And then he throws four. And then he throws three a different game. He is the most turnover prone quarterback in the most hilarious way that I have ever seen. And it's satisfying. That's all I gotta say.
You have made me add a new chapter into the book. The book of Adrian Martinez is now acknowledging Tyler Van Dyke as one of the prophets. Tyler Van Dyke is now a part of the chapters of history.
So you now admit, now you admit that Adrian Martinez was dog shit.
What are you talking about? A book can have multiple themes, idiot.
That doesn't make any sense. So it's just a list of quarterbacks. It's just a list of quarterbacks.
Where's your quarterback book?
That's the worst book in the history of books, you fucking moron.
A book with Adrian Martinez.
I'm going to write a bunch of names down. Names that I like. Names that I'd like to remember. Is that what it is?
I got a whole book
full of moron.
Yeah, I'm sure. This book's still getting written. Still getting written. I'm glad there's another. I'm glad there's another great quarterback, another goated quarterback that gets under your skin. I love it.
Oh, so is that what the list is? The list of quarterbacks that are under
your
skin?
It's a list of goated ass quarterbacks that get under your skin and on your nerves. That's what the book is. That you couldn't see what they really did for the sport.
I'm trying to think of the. Do you have any other final thoughts?
No, I don't care.
All right, relax.
You just knocked my book.
Your book stinks. Get a better book.
What books do you have?
Not enough. All right. I think that's good enough to wrap us up on. We gotta go tape the FCS show at Joe DeLeon at Sarenson Radio. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Check us out in the podcast version if you want to tune in on audio, Apple, Spotify, wherever you find a podcast. We'll be back with more. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.